great service in the Alexander Palace last week. So we're systematically working our way through the book of Luke, and we've arrived in chapter 15, a very familiar passage. If you've been in church for any number of time, years, months, and it's often called the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost son. But I've called this sermon the merciful father, because this story is really about a father's heart, God's heart for us, God's heart for his church, and the father's heart for these two sons in this story. There's quite a lot going on in this story. It's a very personal story to me. I read this passage of scripture about 18 years ago, maybe 19 years ago, in a prison cell when I was incarcerated in Her Majesty's prison, Norwich, in the United Kingdom. That's after about 10 years of drug and alcohol addiction. I was a criminal, I was a liar, I was a thief, and I was a generally bad person. So if I get emotional, please understand where I'm coming from. So as we go on this journey together, I'd just like you to picture Jesus is speaking to a bunch of people. Now, who are them people that Jesus is speaking to? Well, Pastor Brian preached a great sermon a couple of weeks ago about the lost sheep and the lost son. I mean, the lost coin. And right in verse 1, we start. I'm just going to read that again because we're starting a bit later. Now, this was whom Jesus was addressing the story and who he was speaking to. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to listen to him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered amongst themselves, "Who is this man? Who is this Jesus? Look at all them stinking sinners gathering around him." And they were muttering amongst themselves, murmuring, fault-finding, and complaining. And Jesus spoke, firstly, about the lost sheep. He spoke about the lost coin. And I think one of the pivotal verses, what Pastor Brian spoke about, I'm going to read this verse. Hopefully you're familiar enough to finish the end of the verse, the last word for me. There is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who
repents.
One sinner who repents. Isn't that wonderful? There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I always used to think it was the angels that were rejoicing, but it's God that's rejoicing in the presence of these angels over one sinner who repents. Spoke about the 99 that didn't need repentance, and then the lost coin. So, before we go, got a few things to say. This is a story, first and foremost, about a merciful father, but it's also a story of rebellion, sin, selfishness, rebellion. It's a story of repentance. Repentance. And it's a story of restoration. Story of restoration. So, here we go. The rebellion. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided the property between them." Time out. Straight away. Just got to stop it there. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this just... Let's try and get hold of this situation. This young whippersnapper, this young rebellious son, is saying, "Dad, I really wish you were dead. I can't wait until that day. Just cough up now. You know, I don't want to be at your funeral." So that's what he's saying. In the Jewish law, the eldest son was entitled to 2/3 of the estate, the youngest son, 1/3. And he was entitled to ask, but it wasn't done. He could, but it really was so, so disrespectful in their culture. Imagine his son asking you that. "Dad, cash in my pension or cash in yours?" What? Get out there and get it yourself. Wow. So this is a real rebellious child. It certainly wasn't a loving thing to do. Perhaps the father had to liquidize his assets. He had to sell some of his estate, some of his land, some of his cattle, some of his sheep. I doubt he went down to the ATM and just withdrew it. But he had to, and he wished. He said, "Yeah, okay, I'll do this." What a picture of a gracious father. Are you gracious fathers? Are we gracious fathers? Because this is a real picture of a gracious and merciful father. He granted the son's wishes. See, we all possess foolish ambitions of independence. I am constantly amazed at my own selfishness. My wife is laughing her head off. In fact, my wife reminded me of it this morning before we came, very sternly. So, not long after that, the youngest son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. He began to be in need. It takes a lot of selfishness to do what that rebellious son did. To ask his father for his share. You see, the son had made this journey to this foreign land many times before he asked his father for the money. See, that's where the sin starts, in our thoughts, in our imaginations. And then when that sin, we decide to follow up on it, put it into action. It's really, by his whole actions, you can see how selfish this young man was. Didn't consider his elder brother, didn't consider his father, his family, the humiliation he brought upon them. No. Me, myself, and I. It's good for me. Gratification. We live in a world of instant gratification. Downloads instantly on your mobile, on your laptop, on your iPad, on your notebook. We don't want to wait. See, I'm 51 now, so the music I may mention could be from the 70s or the 80s. And if you're not familiar, maybe Google it, but maybe not Google this one. Because my life before I knew Christ was summed up in an Ian Jory and the Blockheads song, "Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll." And I would imagine this is what this young man was thinking about. Giving heed to his passions and his youthful desires and just let go. Just let go. For whatever reason. His passion for it outweighed his love and respect for his father, for his brother. I wonder how we would react if our sons asked us such a question. The humiliation. Sin always ends up with humiliation. Trust me, I've been there and done it. And I'm sure many of us can in some way connect to this young man's story with our own foolishness, with our own selfishness, and our own sinfulness. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but nobody gave him anything. There we go. Key verse. Remember this one. When he came to his senses. Hallelujah. Humiliation led him coming to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I can really communicate with that. When I read this story, the Gideons left this Bible in my prison cell. The two of the men I was incarcerated with were taken out to court, and I was in a room. I deserve to be there. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. About this big, three beds in it, and a toilet. And I got this feeling. I don't really read that Bible, because it'd been in my locker every day, and I threw it out. I threatened the prison officer, if he put it back in, I'd throw him over the landing. That's safety nets, but it's quite a fall. But the merciful Father put it there. And I randomly opened this Bible and I read this story. And these words were jumping off the pages. I was reading about me. And it said, when he come to his senses, honestly, it was like a light went on. God said to me, you're eating with the pigs. And honestly, it was like that, a light. I've been eating with the pigs.
Praise God.
There's all kinds of pigs in this world. Humiliation one, the foolishness of spending all his inheritance and not saving a penny. I'm sure he thought while he was feeding them pigs, if I'd only saved some. Wonder how much wealth he gave away, squandered. And he's thinking, if only I'd saved some. Humiliation for a Jew to go into a pig pen. It was an unclean animal in their customs. Mm-hmm. Not only going to it, but to feed them and long to eat what he was giving the pig swill, the slop. He was so hungry, he wanted to eat it. Humiliation two, a foreigner feeding pigs. Humiliation three, he was so hungry, but nobody gave him anything. Unconfessed always leads to humiliation. Always. God is gracious and compassionate. Wants everybody to come to repentance. But he will expose your sin. Because he loves you so much. You may be humiliated, but it's because he loves you and wants you to come into repentance. See, God used this humiliation to bring his son to his senses. It was the memory of his father's goodness. He thought, how many of my father's hired men are eating better than I, and here I am starving to death. It was the memory of the goodness of his father, mixed in with the humiliation that brought him to repentance. The repentance. So he decided, I will set out and go back to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. Repentance. 3 points. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy of the title of son. Please make me as one of your hired men. See, repentance isn't just being sorry that you've been caught and humiliated in your sin. So if you're in a loop of sin, repentance, well, repentance and sorry until I do it the next time, you're in the merry-go-round of addiction. And I was on that merry-go-round of addiction for years and years. Every day I would dream of drinking. But I couldn't paint the picture of how despicable I was. Every drug under the sun. I wore that mask, laughing to everybody. Being the cool guy, but inside, my heart was breaking. Took off that mask in that prison cell. Jesus took it off. But godly sorrow produces repentance that leads to salvation. Repentance is not just being sorry as I've been found out. This will not lead us to repentance. Godly sorrow helps us to repentance. Repentance is not being sorry for sinning, but we can't repent without being sorry for our sin. Isaiah puts it this way, let the wicked abandon, forsake their way of life, let them to come back to God who is merciful. Our Father is merciful and gracious and compassionate. It cost him a lot to purchase you, to purchase me. We're not our own. We've been purchased at a price. The blood of Jesus. And we're responsible to him for how we live, what we do with our bodies. To repent, we first must have to understand we have sinned and recognize that we've sinned against God. Then we may feel sorrow for that sin. And then we stop and turn away from that sin. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a 180 degree turn. Me, myself, and I. Here I am in the pig slot. Turned around. Walked back. Shamed, humiliated, broken, humbled to God. That's repentance. There has to be something in place of our sin. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. Didn't I read that now?
I did. Read.
I thought so. The restoration. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The merciful and gracious father. While he was a long way off. That's a true picture of God. Every day, his father probably went to the porch of his property and looked in the distance for his son. We make one step towards God, and he runs towards the sinner. He runs towards us. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." The son didn't even have a chance to finish his speech. The prodigal was satisfied to return home as a slave. And the thing is, this story that Jesus was sharing was a very popular story in Jewish culture. And the father normally accepts the son back as a slave. So Jesus sharing this in this particular culture with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would have turned this situation upside down. The father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found." So they began to celebrate. What a father. What a father. Do you have a father like that? Do you know Jesus like that? The restoration. And meanwhile, another rebellion. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in a field, and when he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. "Your brother has come home," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's back safe and sound." The oldest son doesn't seem to be sharing the father's joy or the father's gracefulness or his mercy. Starts feeling insecure, indifferent, proud perhaps. The older brother's focus was on who?
Himself.
Pretty much like the younger brother, wasn't he? Didn't have the bottle to go and do it perhaps, but I'm sure he was thinking at times. See, his heart was in the wrong place. He became angry and he refused to go in, so his father came out again. This wonderful father stepped out to the other son. This is the picture we should take away today. And he pleaded with him, "Father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders, but you never even give me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." See, he didn't demand his inheritance. He stayed faithful to his father. Now he's angry. "Why should this younger, wasteful, sinful brother, son of yours, receive such a reception?" He's so angry, he refused to go in. Another restoration. Question mark. "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad." He switched it now. because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found. So he reassures the older brother. First he tells him, you're always with me. And everything I have, these two-thirds left, it's all yours. It's all yours. But we had to celebrate. See, he's trying to reassure him not to be insecure. His place was secure. Tells him all I have is yours. He tells him it was right to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive, he was lost, and now he is found. We don't hear the repentance of the older brother. Perhaps Jesus was asking that question to the Pharisees in the context of this story, their reaction to him being with these sinners. You know, if you switch this story, you could say the younger son was perhaps these sinful people sat around Jesus, these tax collectors, the pagans. And the older brother could be, I'm not saying it is, could be the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. Where are you in that story? Which brother do you align with? Okay. What a beautiful father we have. So, the conclusion of the matter, I would like you to repeat after me. In my rebellion, God is merciful. Say it again.
In my rebellion, God is merciful.
Because he loves us. He loves us so much. He allows us to leave, go our own way. But he pursues us with a passion. And he'll use every circumstance to bring us to our senses. Please repeat after me. In my repentance, God is merciful.
In my repentance, God is merciful.
We make one step towards our Father, and he runs towards us. He clothes us in his righteousness, covers us with his shed blood, puts a hedge around us and protects us, and goodness and love and mercy will follow us all the days of our life.
Amen. Amen.
We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Why? Because in my restoration, God is merciful.
In my restoration, God is merciful.
God is my merciful Father.
Amen.
God is my merciful Father.
Thank you so much for your time. Pastor Brian, will you pray, please?